What's up, fam? I'm not used to this thing, so I might be all over the place with my hands. So sit closer, gather around if you want to get a little bit closer to the fire. Pastor Brian here, it's good to be with y'all. Y'all sing great, y'all look great, y'all smelling okay. I'm happy to be here with y'all this weekend. We're continuing on in this series. Psalm 119 is where we're at for this week and the next few weeks. If you'd like to, you could go and open your Bible. If you're old school, you go to Psalm chapter 119. It's the really, really long one. This weekend, we are going to continue our study through this psalm. And in our text today, we come across one of the most popular verses in the Bible, a verse that even inspired young Brady, who was leading worship with us. He got it tattooed on his arm. Pretty cool, bro. So it's pretty awesome verse. But the verse is obviously God's word is a lamp to our feet. That's kind of the theme. This is something that we as Christians, we believe this is true about God's word in our lives. Regardless of the day or the season of the month or the trial, our text today shows us that there is so much for us that we can learn about where to go for our source of comfort and joy in midst of all of life's struggles and trials and burdens as we're walking through this life of faith in a dark world. So this weekend, again, Psalm 119, verse 105 through 112, and this would be the 14th of the 22 stanzas in this psalm. Like Pastor Josh mentioned at the beginning of this series, each one of these stanzas, these sections of this psalm begin with a different letter in the Hebrew alphabet. This would be the Hebrew letter nun, and I tried to print this off for you so you could have it on the back of your handout to look at, which would be really cool, but the printer does not understand Hebrew. So I have no idea what this is. Maybe don't Google Translate. I cannot vouch at all. What it used to say was Psalm 119 verses 105 through 112. So if you want it more accurately, you see I lit up the letter on that right side there. You could screenshot that. That I can vow. That is the verses today. So anyways, let's read these verses. You guys ready? Who wants to read the first one for me? Okay, we'll go to the English translation. Starting in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life. Oh, there we go. Verse 109. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Beautiful verses, amen. This guy's not having a good day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. Thank you that it is a lamp. It is a lamp that is a light that guides our feet in a dark, messy, sinful, yucky world, Jesus. And we need more of that. So Lord, I ask this weekend that you would speak to us, that people would not see me, but they would hear from you, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, Jesus Christ, our rock, our redeemer, in whom all God's children said, amen. So, okay. The lamp that guides our feet. These verses that we just read are exactly what we've studied over the last 2 weeks, what we've seen so far. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Josh talked about how God's word is good. God is good, and he doesn't change. That word is immutability. And God, because he doesn't change, what he says doesn't change. That is good. We see that in these verses. Last week, Pastor Caleb talked about how God's word is sweet and like honey and is more valuable than even life itself. We see that in the psalmist in these verses today. And then today, God's word is a lamp. It is something that illuminates our life. It guides our feet, even in the seasons when we have no idea what's coming on around the bend. So this weekend, we're going to continue on this journey of what it means to delight in God's word when we see and we believe and we treasure it for a lamp that guides our feet. And this title obviously comes from the first verse in this section. This is really like the biggest idea you could take away. What these verses are teaching us is this is how we should see and trust and treasure and find comfort and provision in God's word. That is the main idea. 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Very popular verse. Again, and we see some very profound truths just in these verses. One, that God's word is light. That's clearly what's being taught here. Everything that God says is good. His words are light. They illuminate our path. And it implies that this walk of life is often filled with much darkness, thus needing some light. That's what's being assumed in this verse, right? Equally true, the world, darkness. There is darkness, and we need God's word. We need his help to guide us through. So I'll unpack both of these ideas briefly. But before we look at that, I want to give you one free one right at the beginning. Scripture teaches us, before we even get to God's word being light, God himself is light. He is the source of everything that is right and good and true and holy. And Scripture testifies to that, that God himself, 1 John 1, right? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Isaiah chapter 51, the Lord God is a light to his people. Chapter 60, the earth shines with his glory. Habakkuk, God's radiance is like the sunlight. Micah 7, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Additionally, God himself throughout history has often revealed himself through light. You guys know in Exodus 3, he appears to Moses in a burning bush. He guides the Israelites by a pillar of fire by night in Exodus 9, 12. And then in Exodus 19, he goes up and down Mount Sinai of thunder and lightning and fire. God is light. And obviously so is his word. Everything that God says is right. It is light. In this world, we need the light. This verse today, your word is a lamp to my feet. Proverbs 6, the commandments, God's word is a lamp and his teaching is light. God is true. God is light. God is right. And so is his word. We would not know the path to take, right from wrong, light from darkness, if God did not illuminate truth for us. The Bible also makes it clear that we live in a dark world that believers have been rescued from. We live in a world that is in darkness and loves darkness. Proverbs chapter 4, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. John 3, Jesus himself says, the light of the world has come, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. The psalmist understands all of this. This is what he's saying in these verses. We are in a world, I am in a world full of sin and darkness and yuckiness, and he understands and he believes that he needs God's guidance to guide his feet, to help him. Christian, this is true for every one of us. We are on this walk of life, this walk of faith, and we need help every day. Christians, we often call our life, it's referred to as a walk, right? The Christian life is a walk. Through the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows and the darkness and in the light. Without God's word to light our path, we are in trouble. No idea where we're going. We don't know right from wrong. We're getting lost, led astray. And then there are the things in this that aren't what they seem in the dark. But God in his kindness, he has shown up. He has revealed himself. He has turned us around on a path that leads to destruction and turned us into a path that leads to eternal life. God's word is light. Christians are walking in Romans 6. Christ was raised from the dead, right? So too we walk in this newness of life. Galatians, walk not by the flesh. Don't walk with the dark world anymore. Now you walk by the Spirit. Ephesians 4, Colossians 1, 1 Thessalonians 2, we're told to walk in a manner that is now pleasing to the Lord, a walk that's worthy to which we've been called. In Ephesians 5, we should be paying attention. We should look carefully in how we walk. Lots of talking about light, Lots of talking about walking. Lots of talking about darkness. God's word can help us. So I load all this up at the beginning because that's what the verse is implying when we just crack open these verses. And they give us a correct framework for the world that we live in, the world that the psalmist lives in, what we believe. God is light. God's word is light. And we believe that. And yet at the same time, we are walking in a world that really loves darkness. So how do we stay in love with the light of God and his word while at the same time constantly being distracted, tempted, and lured into all of the things of the world? If we are honest, right, in this daily slow grind of walking by faith, trying not to mess up, trying to not be such a fumbling mess, trying to love Jesus while being derailed by the world at the same time, right? Sometimes we find ourselves just getting off on the wrong path. We don't even realize it. Other times it feels like we're just wandering, going around in circles. Sometimes it just feels like I clearly am being led astray. There are moments where you maybe feel too fearful to even take the next step, or you're used to the steps that you take and you're like, man, I don't even trust myself right now. I could use something better to help me. In all these ways, God's word can help. Sometimes you may feel lured into the snares and the temptations of sin and darkness, right? You ever feel that tug to sin? And then you crack, and then you indulge in it, and then only to immediately regret what you just got yourself into? You ever been there? There's a ride at Disneyland. It's called Space Mountain. You ever been on this before? It's just your average roller coaster. I watched it last night on YouTube with the lights on. It's not a very thrilling ride, except for one thing. The roller coaster is inside this building, which is supposed to be a mountain, I guess. And that's what space mountains look like. That's the title. But it's pitch black inside of mountains in space, apparently, right? So aside from like these little specks of light that go pew, pew, jew, you really have no idea where you're going. So you stand in line for an hour, hour and 15 minutes, going, yeah, this is going to be good. This is what I want. And then you get on the ride, and about 12 seconds in, you're like discombobulated and spinny, and you don't know up and down and left and right, not realizing where you're going. And then in typical amusement park fashion, it's over in like 72 seconds. And then you get off realizing, oh, that just wasn't worth it at all. And then you're left feeling dirty and ashamed. Space Mountain is a great illustration for sins we commit in the darkness. Amen. Why am I doing this? But when the word of God is a lamp to our feet, it means we understand, oh, I don't have to do that. Oh, I don't need to walk in the dark. It means we understand that there's going to be things getting in the way, but the Lord can provide an escape. He can provide wisdom when I'm confused. He will give illumination in the darkness. He will provide escape from every snare, trial, and temptation if I would just come to his word and believe. The Prince of Preachers said it great. The word of God is a lamp by night, a light by day, and a delight at all times. That is such great truth, but how? How can I delight in God's word at all times when all times aren't good times? What about the bad times? Our verses can help us when we believe God's word is a lamp that guides our feet. You can follow along with these ideas if you would like. When God's word is a lamp that guides our feet, it means that we can trust God even when it hurts. Verse 107. We'll bounce around a little bit in this psalm right now, but let's get verse 107. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. So the psalmist is severely afflicted. If you need more insight, I gave you some more verses. Just a few of them, he mentions how bad his day is going. And yet he's trusting God's word to give light. In verse 109, he takes it even a step further. He's going, I hold my life in my hand continually. The term is speaking of really like, he's just in a really bad position, right? This is not just a poetic way of going, oh, I've had a bad day. Someone unfriended me. Like, he's saying, yo, tomorrow's not promised. Like this afternoon, I don't know what's up on the other side of that fence, man. I don't know what's going to happen after this hour. There's no guarantee. God, my life is in my hand. I'm fleeing. I'm running. I'm hiding. I have enemies actively seeking to destroy me. There's danger, persecution, and he's feeling like the frailty of his life, right? But these verses are showing us there's no frailty in his faith, amen? I'm going to trust God. You and I will probably never experience what the psalmist is experiencing here. I have never had anybody like actively trying to kill me that like, well, that I know of, which is good. We probably shouldn't like do a raise of hands and find out either. That would be good, but the principle still remains, right? Like, no matter what the situation is, like, God can be trusted. He really can. In any circumstance, when you're feeling the flames of like persecution, right? Or shame. You know, I've got friends who have been accused. I've been accused. I've been insulted and ripped apart for the things that I believe. Some of you, I know you've been accused and blamed for things that aren't even true. Even from other Christians, you've been slandered, right? And still trusting God when it's hard. Maybe when you're feeling the pressure of financial burdens, right? I've seen friends who have been laid off, friends who are struggling, trying to figure out where the mortgage is going to come up with next week, trying to feed their families, trusting God when it's hard. Physical ailments, right? I've watched dear saints, even my mom especially, suffer with just incredible sickness and pain, constantly bedridden. The last 10, 12, 14 years of my mama's life, I've been texting her today, she's just so sick and in so much pain, and she's so depressed, and yet still just trusting and believing God when it's really hard. How many of you, you feel like that may be kind of the season of life you're going through right now? In these seasons, right? In these moments, where does our help come from? The psalmist says, here it's you, Lord. He goes, give me life. Lord, according to your word, I will not forget your law. His response is faith, right? Faith is trusting God even when you don't have any clue what's coming around the corner. God has always shown up for his saints. He reads through the scriptures, the Old Testament, and Exodus, rescuing his people. He shows up. David fighting this monster of a man. God shows up. Daniel in the lion's den with the kitty cats. God shows up. The boys in the fire. God shows up. If he's faithful to show up for them, he will be faithful to show up to you because that is who he is. God is good. Continuing in verse 10, gets a little bit more intense. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. He's saying, I'm not going to be led astray by anything else. I'm just going to hold on to your word. Precepts, again, another word for God's law. And a snare would be a trap, right? Not that snare back there, the tat, 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 but like a trap. You wanted to catch a bear. You wanted a tasty treat. A ka-chong, you get him, or a cage to snag a bird or something. They're set out to get their prey. The psalmist knows that the wicked are laying snares for him everywhere. The world that loves darkness wants to destroy him. Biblically, the word of God teaches us this. The world, the devil, they just want to trap you, to deceive you, to get you to believe anything but God. There's a spiritual war going on in the world, in your heart, in your mind, that wants to snatch you out of the love and the goodness and the provision of God, like an alligator would snatch you off of the shore, you know, and just gator roll you, just snatch you up, and you're not paying attention, or you're paying attention. Scripture warns us about the snares. We need to be aware. Like Romans 16, we're told to watch out for those who create controversies and create obstacles that are contrary to the doctrines that we've been taught. There's some people with some sharp teeth that really want to deceive you. 2 Corinthians says, do not be ignorant and be outwitted by Satan's design. 1 Peter 5, you have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know who the easiest person to pick off is? The one who has no idea he's about to be devoured. We've got to wake up from our spiritual slumber. Put on the whole armor of God. That's what we've been going through with the rock men and the rock women. Believing that there's a spiritual reality and we need help, we need protection, we need to stand against the schemes of evil in the world, right? Temptation and snares everywhere. There's the temptation again that comes with the darkness. Space Mountain, right? There's sexual sin and the snares of greed and envy. Seems good in the dark, and then like, oh wait, I feel horrible. What is this mess? There's the intellectual snares, right? From the world. False gospels, false apostles, garbage spirituality that would lead you away from the light, the lamp of God, the word of God, and the gospel of grace. Like, they will say anything, follow anything, we'll support you. I love it. Anything but Jesus Christ. Follow your heart. Do what makes you happy. Sleep around with whoever and whatever flavor you want. Get high on all of the dope and drugs. Just follow your truth. Be spiritual. Light the sage, sure. Do the yoga, sure. Even put worship crystals, right? And wear those witch hats that the girls are like wearing nowadays. They're like, because they're witches now. You're like, okay. You bought a crystal on Amazon. Anyways. Dive into tarot. Wow, Madonna and Beyonce got you into Kabbalah. That's so spiritual. I love you being you. Follow Buddha, Dalai Lama. Heck, the Oprah's book club if you want to take that route. We ain't going to hate on any of that. Follow anything, worship anything, be spiritual. Just do not believe the Bible. Don't worship Jesus, anything but that. Those are snares. Every day, just being laid out. Everybody has their lure out, trying to get you to bite on anything but Jesus. It makes me think of the Puritan Thomas Watson. He said this in one of his sermons. It's not the laying the bait that hurts the fish, if the fish do not bite. If I know what that is, oh, I better not chomp on that. I know what that is. Discernment. God's word. Are we paying attention? Christian, every step that you're taking in the light of the Lord, there's going to be 1,000 snares set up trying to snatch you up, derail you, blindside you. You're going to feel the flames of persecution. You're going to sense the aroma of temptation. The psalmist, no doubt, experiencing the most extreme affliction and fear and temptation. And yet his response is still, Lord, give me life in your word. What am I going to do? Oh, I know. Your word will give me life. I'm not going to stray from you. God, it's really easy to stray. I'm just not going to. That's why it's so essential for us to see the word of God as a lamp that actually guides us, like really believing it, really daily walking by faith, step by step in it. Aware of your surroundings. It'll protect me. It'll sustain me. It can help me. Moving on, when God's word is a lamp that guides our feet, it means that God is worthy to be worshiped regardless of our situation, right? Verse 106, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. So in the good days and in the bad days, the psalmist is just going to, Lord, I'm just going to keep my word. And he swears this oath. Oaths are promises people make, right? Often in the court of law, you swear on a Bible and you invoke the presence of God, or at the married, you see people getting married and they give their vows before God and these witnesses. In verse 106, it's no audience. It's just the psalmist and the Lord. And he's going, Lord, you know me and I know you. I've sworn this oath and I'm just going to confirm it. Like, Lord, I'm just going to do what I've told you, what I've professed. I'm just going to keep your rules. Regardless of my situation, I'm just going to obey you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. And it's kind of like his own little like private pep talk. Like, you ever see, like, athletes before the games, like, they kind of start talking to themselves. They start mumbling things. You know, they, like, Karl Malone used to sit at the free throw line and, like, talk to himself for a while. Like, I don't know what he was saying. We used to always try and, like, interpret it as little kids. Something about his daughter? I don't know. But, like, they kind of get themselves riled up, right? They're like, reciting a prayer, you know. They get down on one knee, and then they cancel them, and then they shame them, and then they're just a Tim Tebow, you know, comes to mind. Poor dude. He wasn't the best quarterback, though, right? Let's be honest. He was just sweet. He's just too kind. And everybody's like, I hate that. Oh, he prayed. It's easy. Let's get him out of here. Anyways, that's, I'm just preaching my own convictions. I'm sorry. But, like, you ever, like, have to give yourself a pep talk? Like, oh, man, I don't want to do this. So, oh, no, I'm talking to myself out loud now. We're going to do this. That's where he's at. God, I need you right now. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Here we go. God, you're good. You ever been there in that moment? Like, Lord, I say you're good, and I believe you're good, and I know you're good, but I just don't feel like loving you today. Could you help me? I'm here. I don't want to, but you know me and I know you. Where else am I going to go? You ever been there? That's where he's at. You ever feel like you're in that season of life where you have to, like, physically walk yourself back down the aisle of faith and get up on the stage and profess your vows to the Lord again, going, God, oh, I don't want anything to do with you, but I need you. What else am I going to do? That's the psalmist. Lord, I've sworn an oath. What am I going to do? And it's fascinating here, right? He says, free will offerings. Hold on. I need another hand. Lord, I've kept my oath with you. Will you teach me? God, my day is not going very well, but will you teach me? And then in Psalm 119, verse 108, yes. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord. This is incredible. This is just worship, right? In this moment, at his worst, the most afflicted, people trying to kill me, you know, I think I'm just going to offer up some praise to the Lord right now and ask him to teach me. Isn't that just fascinating? A free will offering, right? This is a sacrifice that someone would make to God freely. That's hence the word free will offering. Like, it means it wasn't reluctant. Like, it was not to try and atone for sin. It wasn't to, like, gain favor or prestige with the Lord. He's not doing any of that. He's just offering up this free will offering. And in the Old Testament, this is typically like an animal sacrifice, or it would be jewelry or oils and gold, possessions, right? Like, and now you think about the pickle that the psalmist is in right now. He has nothing. He has affliction. He's got snares all over. He has his life in his hands. He's on the run. So his free will offering is quite literally just his praise words. His vocal cords, that's all he has to offer up. And beloved, that's worship. That's the Lord. There's nothing the Lord loves and values more than your worship. And I'm not talking your tithes, your offering, your gifts, your talents, just your vocal cords of, God, I praise you. I want to ask you, are the words of your mouth sincere? Are they real free will offerings to the Lord? I pray this prayer for me, and I pray this prayer for you almost every time I get up here and preach, because I want to believe it and I want it to be true. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Are your words a true reflection of your affections for the Lord? Like when we pray here, the words that we sang with our vocal cords, do we mean them? Or are we just doing the thing, providing lip service, right? My vocal cords are here, sure, but my heart has not entered the building in months. And here's the thing, you can fool me. You can fool the band. You can fool the neighbor sitting next to you. But the Lord knows your heart, right? He and you both know what you offer up to him. Is that the real thing? Or if you're just going through the motions, ask the Lord to speak to you. God, when was the last time I can think I was really just offering up something to you, my praise, my words, just freely to you? Ask, he'll make it clear. Which I love about the Psalms, because the Psalms are just really teaching us how we should speak to God. They're so rich. How to be real with God in the good times and in the bad. They are so honest, right? This author is not having a good life. In this stanza, he is literally prepared to die. Lord, my enemies are everywhere, so where are you? You ever feel like that? Lord, my life is in my hands. Maybe you could show up now. Isn't it fascinating that Scripture teaches us this is how we can communicate with God? Like, the Lord fully expects you to be human. So when you talk to him, you can talk to him like a normal person. He's not asking you, before you come to me, clean yourself up and start talking and saying words that you would never say. Be you. He fully expects you to be mad and angry and worried because you're human, made in his image, and he desires to hear from you. They teach us how we can interact with the living God, and we see in these verses all through the Psalms, God, what are you doing? God, show up. God, why don't you do something? But it doesn't end there, right? There's obviously like, Lord, help me. There's complaints, there's needs, but there's always this recognition and this humbling from the psalmist every single time. Lord, I'm dying. Where are you at? But in the meantime, will you teach me your rules? What are you trying to teach me right now? God, my life is in my hands, followed by, will you help me not to forget your law? The realness and reflection and the response that God wants, that we have access to through prayer, is so beautiful. God is worthy to be worshiped. God, you are the creator. I'm the creature. You are strong, I am weak, right? When it seems like the psalmist has nothing to offer God, he just worships. That's what these verses are showing us, right? He's gonna keep his word. God, I'm gonna keep my word. Where else am I gonna go? I'm gonna worship you freely, not reluctantly. And if even tomorrow doesn't come, I'm not gonna forget your word. And then verse 12, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever. I love that. He's resolved not to just believe God's goodness in his heart, but to live it out. He's going to perform it. He's going to demonstrate his obedience and trust. He is close to God, even in his suffering, because of his obedience, because he believes God. Christian, our lives are going to bear the fruit of knowing and walking with the Lord and the marks of walking with the Lord. Our lives are going to bear the fruit and the marks of what we believe. I mean, God's spirit is in you, right? God moves. He's working in you. You're bearing good fruit. You are the light of the world. Jesus is like, I'm going to use you to make the world is a mess. I'm going to use you to make the world a better place, one person at a time, one life at a time. Jesus is like, I'm going to use you. You're going to bear good fruit. But also at the same time, you also are going to bear the marks of someone who's been beaten, humiliated, and ashamed. Jesus promises both. I'm going to send you the helper, the Spirit of God. You are now the temple of God. You are priests in this world. You are bearing fruit. You are lights of the world, but also, now take up your cross and follow me. We are not just hearers of the word, but doers. Amen? In the good times and the bad times, God is worthy to be worshiped. And then lastly, when God's word is a lamp that guides our feet, what it ultimately means for us, Christian, is that we have inherited eternal joy in Jesus Christ. Look at this verse 11. In the ESV, it says, your testimonies are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. In the NASB, it says, I have inherited your testimonies forever. Testimonies mean God's word, his commandments, his law, scripture, right? When we think of an inheritance, we think of like usually as something that was left behind, like a loved one passed away, right? Like grandma passed away, someone's got to take her cat, someone's, you know, her kids got to figure out what are we going to do with Nana's house. My dad, when he passed away, he left me with 26,000 death metal CDs. Hashtag blessed, yeah. But in the Old Testament, there was a birthright, there was an inheritance, there was a heritage. And oftentimes it was land, right? You received what your father left behind, what he passed down, what was passed down from generation to generation now to you. The psalmist doesn't have he doesn't have grandma's cat. He doesn't have the CDs. He doesn't have land. He has nothing. He's on foreign land. He's on the run. He has nothing, right? No. What does he have? Something that has been passed down to him from generation to generation. It's God's word. That's his inheritance. That's what he goes, I've received something so beautiful, which is remarkable because he didn't have a Bible. They didn't have Bibles. They didn't walk around with scrolls in their backpacks. It wasn't like, oh, I don't have any reception, but it's all good because I got the Bible app on my phone. He'd have none of that. All he had, his inheritance, was not even something physical. It was just the word of God that he's kept in his heart. And he says it's the greatest treasure. The best inheritance is have God's word. God has spoken to me. Consider how much deeper of a joy this should be for us. As the psalmist is awaiting his ultimate help, his deliverer, the Savior coming into the world, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Christian, we've received that. The word of God that the psalmist clung to. The word of God 2,000 years ago entered into humanity. The incarnation of God, Jesus Christ, put on humanity to walk and live and die to rescue us. The word of God, the light of the world, the light that illuminates his feet, the light of the world has come into our world for us. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Jesus is the greatest inheritance, and he's yours. You have him now. And when the psalmist could only see Jesus in the distance, we now see him in full. He was walking by faith towards Jesus. We now walk in faith with him. The word of God, the light of the world, the one who guides his steps and brought him safely home, is the same God who's going to return, bring us home. He will return and bring us home. There will be snares. There will be turmoil. There's going to be pain and loss. But we have this high priest. We have the God-man, Jesus Christ, who came into our world, who is able to sympathize with us in our weakness. The man of sorrows who is well acquainted with grief. You experiencing grief? The Lord knows all about grief. He came and experienced it fully for your sake. He walks with us as our light, and we can trust him as our guidance, even when it hurts, right? And he's worthy of all of our worship and our affections, our vocal cords. In the moments we don't believe it, believe it, because he's worthy. Because of who he is and what he's done, what Jesus Christ is right now accomplishing for you in eternity, he has gone to prepare a place for you. We are just sojourners in this dark world passing through, and Jesus is coming to bring us home. Truly, there is no one like our God. So would you bow your head with me, and then we will pray. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet. It is a guide to our path. Will you give us life according to your word, Jesus? Would you draw near to us today, right now? Would you bring with you comfort and provision and love? Lord, you know our thoughts, you know our burdens, you know our fears, you know our joys, because you care. That's the truth. You will guide and direct and provide for us in the good times and the bad, and you are worthy of all of our hearts and our minds and our souls and our strength, and you're worthy of our worship and our words and our mouths and our meditations, Jesus. You are worthy of all of it. So we ask for your help, Jesus, that you would help us in our daily walk of faith, walking with you, walking towards you, running towards you with endurance. By your Spirit, would you help us to trust you and follow you more? And we ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen.